Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home.
Some days for extroverts, but I got autumn moon dust in my pockets. When the morning cold, frosty fingertips, they was dipped in gold, yeah. Sunny days for extroverts, but I got autumn moon dust in my pockets. I can see my breath, my whole world alive through the season's dead, yeah.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Happy September to all of you watching and listening. This will be the first episode of September and the year's flying by. Hopefully you have by now checked us out on our YouTube channel. If you listen on audio, that's great, but I'd highly encourage you to visit our YouTube channel, watch the podcast there. I think you'll enjoy it. Enjoy getting to see where we work. And I just want to say thank you to those of you who take the time to listen and watch and comment and like and subscribe. All of those things go a long way in supporting the show and supporting Katina Ministries as a whole. We wouldn't be able to do this show or all of the other things that Katina Ministries does if it weren't for those of you who support us in that way, and especially those of you who partner with us financially. I want to say thank you from my family to you. For your generosity. It's because of you that we're able to continue carrying out our mission of loving God and loving people. So thank you so much for that. If you're listening or watching and you want to learn more about how to become a partner of Katina Ministries, the best way to learn more about that is to visit thekatinas.com. You'll find all the information you need to do there. So thank you in advance for that. And as we move into September, I'm excited to have a first-time guest here on the show, someone who has been a friend of the family for many years now. His family has been friends with our families for many years. And so we're excited to have lead pastor of the Nashville Life Church right here in Nashville, Tennessee, Pastor Alvin Love III. Pastor Alvin, thank you so much for being here,
man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's exciting to have a new face here. And my dad told me a couple days back, yeah, Pastor Alvin, he said he'll come on the show. I said, let's bring him in.
That was an easy yes.
Thanks,
well,
bro.
Of course. Thank you again for taking the time to sit down with us. And as we begin, for our listeners and our audience who may not know who you are, I'd love if you just introduce yourself, tell us, you know, where you're from, what you do, and if you wouldn't mind as well sharing what your connection is with the Katina family.
Sure. Well, as you said, I've been lead pastor of Nashville Life Church for, it'll be, 4 years in January. Okay. So I've been doing that for a while. And before then, I've been full-time at the church for a while. My parents founded the church, Alvin and Cece. And that's really how I know the Katinas, just my mom being in music and the Katinas being in music. So as far as I can remember, I've known the Katinas. They toured with my mom back when I was 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. So that's when I really got to know them. And you would have thought my last name was Katina. I really just thought I was part of the family. Mm-hmm. And I guess I became part of the family.
Yes, for sure.
But just this little young guy tagging along, these guys, I thought they were the coolest. Mm. Still do. But that's where it started as a kid. Through my family and their family and music. And then over the years, they've just been a great support to me personally, honestly, especially Joe. Mm-hmm. So I love you guys. Mm. And so I pastor, I got a wife, a little girl. She'll be one on Friday.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. So a little family of my own. And that's really it, man. I did a lot of music earlier on in life, not as much anymore because I'm pastoring. Mm-hmm. Still love it. Still love music, but really my heart right now is just ministry and being a Nashville Life. Yeah. So that's my life, really.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dad, if you wouldn't mind, could you share what your memories are of Alvin when you first met him?
Dude, he literally became our little brother, our younger brother. The thing that I love about this family, the Loves, is just their love for Jesus, their love for people, and their humility. I remember when his mom, Cece, called us and said, "Hey, I'm going out on my first tour. Would you be my band?" I think it was actually your Uncle Cedric.
Okay.
Uncle Cedric was putting the band together, and we grew up on the Winans, like just a generation of people did. And when we got the call, we were like, all kinds of thoughts came. None that we were like, oh yeah, we'll do it. We were scared. We're not good enough. How are we gonna go on tour with CC Winans? And looking back at it, it was all part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. I hope that we were a blessing to Alvin and CC, but for sure they showed us the ropes. I mean, it was the first tour bus that we were on.
Really?
Bro. We thought we made it. Yeah. There was probably 20 of us on the tour bus, but we didn't know any different, you know. And CC, Mom Winans was on that tour.
That's right.
Alvin was on the tour, a dad, Alvin Sr. And then we met Alvin and Ashley, and literally they became like little brother and little sister. And Alvin would come spend the night. I think at that time, John and Jesse were single.
That's right.
So Alvin was like,
this was before they were married.
Oh yeah. John, so Jesse, and Charlie.
Uncle Charlie. So he'd be hanging out at the apartment.
I remember that apartment.
Yeah. So he was there.
Wow.
He was there.
I wouldn't want to hang out with my friends from school. I'd want to hang out with these Katinas.
That's funny.
And my parents loved me. They were like, they love God and they're safe. So you can hang out with them. So I would.
They definitely love God. I don't know about safe.
Well, there's still some things they don't know.
Yeah.
But we had a good time.
Yeah. And then as Alvin and Ashley were growing up, you know, and going through high school, and then, I mean, and we started hearing stuff that Alvin was producing. Mm. And it was ahead of his time, so good, we're not surprised. And then, and maybe we'll talk about it later on, but you went away for a little bit.
I did.
Yeah. And then I remember when I heard that Alvin, his parents, and Cece were starting a church.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a no-brainer. Mm. I mean, and I'm not sure when they planted the church.
It's 2012.
2012, it was just a small church. And now, you know, as we travel, you know, there's a lot of great churches in Nashville, and I'm thankful for that. Yep. But I would say Nashville Life is one of the leading churches in this place, at least when we travel.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, they're impacting lives, not only in this community, but all over the world. So,
wow.
Bro, I want to tell you, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, man. Thank you, Joe.
Proud of you and Jazz.
Appreciate it.
So thankful that you're doing what you're doing.
Oh, man.
Inspiring, bro.
Means a lot coming from you, Pastor Joe.
I'm not a pastor.
You seem like one. You feel like one. No. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Let me ask you this. So one thing I know you and I have in common is that we grew up in families that were in ministry.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, in many ways that's a blessing, and in other ways it can be a burden. I always find it interesting, you know, I feel like when I was younger, I think young Josh told himself, I don't want to be around ministry. I don't want to be around church people when I get older. And, you know, there's different reasons for people to have that experience. Other people, it's the opposite.
Sure.
But I'm curious for you, growing up in ministry and then finding your path in your own ministry now, what was that path like for you?
Oh, man. Yeah, I think I relate to most people who grew up, there's parents in ministry, but even parents who are Christians. I think there's a difference between being your parents' faith and your faith.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that transition is sometimes really smooth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's rocky. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it never even happens, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Mine was in the middle. It was rocky. Pretty much when high school started. When I got my own car and got a little independence, it revealed how much of it was really mine and how much was just my parents who were driving me everywhere. Turns out it was, I didn't have much of my own at all. And I rebelled like sinners do. And it was rough. It was rough. I always believed in God. I always knew it was, he was real, but it, there was this disconnect between my life and his life. And yeah, I had those annoyances with, you know, maybe aspects of church and church people. But I always recognized when it seemed authentic. Like, I always respected people that I thought had an authentic walk with Jesus versus just the religious facade and the culture. I was never attracted to the culture, but I was always attracted to people who had a real relationship with God. Even in my time of not walking with Jesus, I always recognized that in people and respected it. And then, like Job mentioned, ended up moving to Australia for, it was supposed to be 3 months. I just wanted to kind of get away, shake things up. I was out of college and had a little money saved up and didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I figured I would just do something radical for a while and just have fun. And maybe through that experience, maybe come back with a more clear idea of what I wanted to do with my life. And I had a very unexpected encounter with Jesus in Australia. Ended up turning into a year trip. Found this little church and was discipled by this community. And that was when my heart awakened to Jesus in a whole new way. First time ever as an adult. I think I had some moments of passion with God when I was a kid, but that was the first time as an adult. And I was just completely compelled to share the gospel and share my story with friends back home, something I had never really committed to do before. And what started off just talking to a few friends about Jesus began to have kind of a domino effect. And before we knew it, it was 20, 40 people, 50 people at my parents' house. And the kind of ministry that I stumbled into with just talking to my friends and them telling their friends and them telling their friends ended up coinciding with a prophetic word that my parents got back in 1995 that they were going to pastor a church. So that was probably during the time of Aloneness Presence during that tour. When you guys were touring with my mom at church, someone prophesied that. And since then, about every other year, a different minister in a different country, in a different state would say, you know, you guys are going to pastor a church one day. And it never resonated with my parents. They never felt like that was really God's call. They would, they wouldn't tell the person to their face that. They'd be like, oh, thank you, God bless you. And then they would get in their car and be like, that's, that's not happening. But after like 10, 12 years of that consistently, my dad was like, all right, am I missing something? And he said he prayed the prayer. He said, God, if you want me to start a church, you've got to make it so obvious that a blind man could see it. So then fast forward to 2012, and there's 80, 20-something-year-olds in his house that came from me just being on fire and my friends. He said he felt the Lord say, how much more obvious do you want me to make it? So God had to literally bring it into his living room for him to see that this was real and that this was God's will. And that was how the church started. So I ended up being, I went from being like the wayward son to sort of bringing the congregation into my parents' house to start our church.
Isn't that funny?
Wow. God has a sense of humor, for sure. So that's how we started, man.
Wow. I'm really interested in, so I didn't know that you moved to Australia. That, why Australia?
That's a good question. That's a
crazy place to go for a kid from Nashville or...
Well, a big key point to where I went, I didn't know where I wanted to go, but I knew I wanted to go somewhere where I didn't know a lot of people. And as you mentioned, having family and ministry, there weren't many cities that we didn't know somebody's pastor or somebody that, you know, and because I'm a big New York fan. So I was like, I'll go to New York. And I was like, no, my parents would just call up like all these churches and be like, keep an eye on Alvin. I'd have a car outside of my apartment ready to take me to church. I'm like, no, thanks. And I just started going down the line. Every city that I thought was cool, we would know somebody in ministry in that city. So I was like, okay, and I crossed off all the stuff, all the cities in the states. that I wanted to move to or that I thought would be fun to spend 3 months. So I started going overseas, thinking of London. We knew people were there. Even down to Sydney, Australia. My mom is tight with some people out there.
Sydney's still too close to home.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I said, can't. And then Melbourne. I went there once back in a few years prior. My mom did some dates in Australia and New Zealand, actually. And we had a driver in Melbourne that was around my age, and he took me out bowling that night with his friends after my mom sang. And I think I was Facebook friends with him. And I was like, I know one guy that I hung out with one night, and I picked Melbourne because I couldn't think of any pastors that we knew.
Nice.
And ironically, I ended up becoming a pastor that city.
That's amazing.
So it's, again, sense of humor. But that's literally why. They spoke English. Because I wanted to do France at one point, but I don't speak French. And I hear that they're not very friendly to people who don't speak French. Because I was, as a musician, I was really into the music scene there. There's some artists I really liked. I was like, I can be a Parisian.
Yeah.
I'm like, that would be a disaster. So they, Melbourne spoke English and we didn't know anybody. Yeah. That's how I found, that's how I picked it.
That's funny.
You're like the modern day Jonah story, bro.
But I was running. I was running.
Where can I get far away from God?
Yeah, I just.
Melbourne.
I don't know. I just wanted, very, going back to your first question, you know, when you are a son of prominent ministers, you know, you can kind of just, sometimes you want to be known outside of that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted a chance. Like, over the years, the stories evolved to, like, I wanted to rebel and be this bad person. It wasn't, I mean, I was open to that.
Yeah.
But it was more so, I just wanted to exist outside the context of all the things that are assumed about me because of my family.
So good.
And this was going to be a shot for me to just be anonymous and not have anything, preconceived notions about me, which I think made my experience with God that much more special because it wasn't via family. Mm. It was something of my own. Like, I found that church on my own. That was my thing. This was my relationship with God. This was my experience. So it was, it just felt a lot more personal.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a great story. Dad, maybe you can comment on this as well. Just sticking on the families and ministry thing. Because you grew up in
ministry.
Yeah,
you know it too.
Well. I want to, my question is about growing up in ministry and then when you have kids, knowing that you're going to raise kids that are in ministry.
Yeah.
How is it, maybe for both of you, you could say, you know, there's certain things my parents did that I'm not going to do that to my kids. I'm not going to, and I'm sure everyone has that experience, but also what are some things that you cherish from your childhood growing up in ministry that you thought, I want to make sure that my sons or my daughter has this experience. I want to instill this in them as well.
Yeah, that's a great, great topic of conversation, Josh. When I look back, we were talking about my dad. We're going back to see him. 84,
oh, that's
you
right.
know, and we're going to see him in October. And I mean, I've got issues that I've had to work through with my dad just because of that. Military, sergeant, preacher, and one of the things that I told myself, at least whether I said it verbally or just, I told myself, I'm not going to put church before my kids. That's what I felt like my dad did. He might see it different, but that's just the way it. I process it, that church, the ministry was number one. Mm. So when you and Eli came along, I tried to do that, but still, when I look back, there was some things that, I did exactly the same things in some ways. But I also know that as I'm getting older, now I'm a granddad. Wow. I think there's a different perspective. And some things I'm realizing that, you know, I think we sing songs like, man, I wish I would have known then what I know now. Yeah, maybe, but sometimes it's all about timing, and God's like, no, you were too young to know that. That at your young age, you were exactly where you needed to be. Not like, there were some mistakes that I made that it was just pure rebellion towards God, where I didn't have to make those. But a lot of the mistakes that I made, I was talking about to some young kids the other day about it. If I learn, it's not a mistake, it's a lesson. Mm-hmm. The question is, am I going to learn?
Yeah.
And so now my hope is that I can be better at 54 than I was at 24 and 34. Mm-hmm. And because I look back and, yeah, I did a lot of the same things. I put too much pressure on you and Eli that I apologize to you guys. There was a lot of times when I parented out of fear. If I don't do this, then that's this. I was projecting my own stuff upon you guys. Mm. But I mean, I don't know how I'd have been different. I don't know. Yeah. I think now I'm different because I'm older and I've made a lot of mistakes. But again, they're lessons. So I think growing up in ministry, I love that grandpa and grandma taught me the importance of prayer. I love that. It's still today in my life. I'm glad that grandpa taught me the importance of the word of God. And I can't say I've always lived by that. But even if it's just that the last 2 years of my life, I realized I can't make it outside of the word of God. Mm. Some people learned that earlier. Mm-hmm. I didn't. There were same things going on in my life that I looked back and I thought, man, if I would have been obedient to God's word,
yeah,
I would have saved a lot of pain for myself and for other people. Mm-hmm. Well, what can I do about it? There's nothing I can do now. I can just move forward from here.
Yeah.
So I'm glad for my faith. And I hope that you were saying something. I just thought, man, no wonder being a pastor, there's some things that you can reach people with that perhaps just a religious person couldn't.
Sure. You know,
because they've never been through,
yeah,
or they refuse to say, dude, that's not Jesus. That's just religion talking.
Yeah.
You know,
man.
Which.
Thank you for saying all that.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, I'm early in my fatherhood, so hearing you as a granddad say these things and just the humility and the honesty, and it's very powerful. Mm. And I'm sure as a son, it's got to be cool to hear.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of transparency from mm-hmm. your dad.
Special.
It's awesome. Super cool.
I was telling a dad yesterday, dude, oh man, this, we sang at a church. And I'll try to keep it as anonymous as possible. And I was walking off the stage and I saw a dad. He's not much younger than me, but I was kind of like, when we went to Bethel back in the day, mm-hmm. I kind of discipled. He would say, oh yeah, Joe discipled.
Yeah.
It's been like 20 years since I saw him.
Really?
And when I got off the stage, he's just crying. And I could see just all kinds of things, fear, mm-hmm. shame,
yeah.
anger, just all. And dude, I hugged him and we just hugged. And I said, bro, how are you? He said, terrible.
Wow.
And I said, okay, what's going on? And he told me, he said something that, it's a personal problem in his family. And the two thoughts I had was, I feel compassion for him.
Yes.
But the other thought I had was, that's not your fault. I mean, when you're his daughters, they're making some decisions mm-hmm. that is just breaking his heart. But I think sometimes, and I don't want to blame church people or the church, but we feel so much shame.
Sure.
Because we don't live to... It's not even we fall short,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I know for me, and I just thought, I wanted to say, dude, that's not your fault.
Right.
And your daughter's going to be okay. I think, I mean, if the Bible is true, you sowed seed, she'll come back around.
That's right.
But I didn't want to just make his, like trivialize what he's going mm-hmm. through. But it made me think again, that's why we all need this relationship with Jesus, because I think Jesus would say, dude, you're okay. That's not your fault.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah.
And so I just broke for him. So I told him, Alvin, I told him yesterday, I said, bro, I get it. And he said, me and my wife are asking, what did we do wrong? I said, well, here's one thing I know. You did some things wrong.
Sure.
I did. I said, me and my son's conversations, not all the time, but we have a lot of conversations where I'm saying, I'm so sorry. And I don't mean it flippantly. And right. Thank God my boys are gracious. It's part of the process. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Yeah.
And then I got to live.
That's right.
I can't crawl in a hole and say, dang, I just messed it all up.
Yeah.
No, man, that's where God's grace comes in.
It's good. Amen.
Anyways.
Amen.
So, Alvin, you've been the lead pastor for, you said, 4 years?
2021. My math is bad. So okay. January 2021. So yeah, it'll be 4 years in January.
Yeah,
so.
4 years this coming January.
Yeah.
And you, did you recently get married or?
Yeah, man. I got married November 2022.
Okay.
So it'll be 2 years in November.
So was there was a period you were pastor, a single lead pastor?
Absolutely. That's a conversation. If you want to get
that
into
is a,
it.
That's a unique thing to me to
Very
hear.
Very unique. I wouldn't wish it upon anyone.
Why is that?
It's just awkward, man. It's the process of, the dating at that, well, dating at any level is awkward, but dating as a pastor, it's just not something that I think I would wish upon anyone.
I remember meeting him for coffee several times.
I was struggling.
He was just, it was even, I won't tell too many details.
Yeah.
But I said, dude, I'm sure every mom in the church is trying to get you to marry their daughter.
Oh, man. Quite an experience. That wasn't the plan. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to be married sooner and had a few relationships that, rightfully so, didn't work out. So it left me to the point to where, I don't know, I had to really trust God because a part of me, my dad was feeling like it was time to transition it to me. But I think all of us imagined that I would have been married at this point. So we were like, do I delay and not take the position until I'm married? And that was a whole wrestle, but I felt like I had to trust God with that, and if this was time for me to become pastor, just trust that he's had everything else worked out.
Yeah.
And 5 months into becoming pastor, I was taking a trip to New York, and my uncle Marvin, who pastors in Detroit, says, you should meet one of my best friends who pastors Times Square Church, Tim Delina. Now, Tim used to pastor in Detroit for years, but now he's pastoring in Manhattan. So we sit down and meet. And prior to this day, all the mentors I had been married prior to becoming pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no point of reference in my circle of how you would do this. So I'm pastor five, six months at this point, single, not dating anyone. And this man starts to tell me his story, and he was single, don't quote me, but I think about 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Met a woman in his church, fairly new. And then miraculously it worked out. They've been married for 20 some years and got 4 grown kids, and definitely just a picture perfect story of how this could be for, and right then it was just very clear. I was like, man, you have no idea, but I think we're supposed to be friends. Like, I think I'm supposed to know you. You're the first person I've met that's had this story. And would you mind if you could just be a help for me when the time comes for me to embark on what you embarked on of dating and building a relationship while pastoring a church. And it was divine, man. I'm convinced one of the few times I'm very sure that God brought him in my path. And he walked me through my whole process with befriending Jasmine. And he had to wait 9 months before I asked her out. She was in my church.
Okay.
So that was a double whammy. Because one thing to be a pastor if I met somebody else, but I'm not only a pastor, but I'm her pastor.
Uh-huh.
So he had me on a very strict, like, we'll go in more detail like after, but like super strict. Nothing, no texting. I could only hang out with her in groups. Luckily, her brother had moved to town and I was really close with him. So whenever I hung out with him, she'd be around.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to know her, and
so you were good friends with her brother.
Bro, see, the story is I used Johnny. I did not use Johnny. Like, Johnny was sincerely like my guy, and he would like, hey, you mind if Jasmine comes, hangs out, and she would come. So I'm like, all right, and so I end up becoming friends with her. And month by month, I'd call Pastor Tim in New York and be like, hey, it's been 2 months. Could I ask her out?
Mm-hmm.
Call I'm so sorry, Pastor Robin, not yet.
I'm like, what? You sound like him.
I'm like, 4 months. It's been 4 months, Pastor. I've been texting her. Whenever I text her, I was texting the group text. It was never her. Meanwhile, she's thinking he's friend zoned me. He doesn't like me. Because she's like, where I come from, if a guy liked you, you know, you're seeing this happen, you're seeing this. And she wasn't getting any of that from me. So here she is thinking that I friend zone her. I'm thinking that she's friend zoned me because she's single now and different guys are asking her out. I'm like, man, she's going to be taken. So I'm calling Pastor Tim and be like, she's going out with this other guy. Like, I'm about to miss her. He goes, Pastor Robin, if she's for you, then she's for you. And then I was like, this sucks, man. So I, you know, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months go by. Finally, 9 months. I'm like, Pastor, it's been 9 months. I've done everything you told me to do. I've been her friend. And I still really want to take the next step with her. So he asked for one more week, which I'm like, one more week? I was like, this is tough. He's like, me and Cindy, his wife, we want to pray and make sure you use the right language because you're still her pastor. This is still a very sensitive situation. And man, I basically, it was language I was already going to use. Like, I've enjoyed getting a lot of friend talk. I've enjoyed getting to know you as a friend. I want to take this friendship to the next level. Would you like to go get dinner so I can get to know you as a friend? All this friend stuff. So, and I did that. That was February 2022, week before Valentine's Day. Our second date was Valentine's Day, which I was like, is this too intense? But at this point, we had known each other for 9 months. We had been friends, so I already knew her. We just spent time one-on-one. And last thing I'll say on this, Pastor Tim said, you know how slow you feel like this has been going? I said, yes. He said, well, if this is the Lord, then as slow as it's been going on this side, it's going to go just as fast on the other side. And I didn't really know what he meant.
Yeah.
So we date February, March, April. You know, it's going well. She's cool. I'm having fun. So I'm telling Pastor Tim, yeah, it's going well. He goes, okay. So are you going to propose? I said, propose? We've only been dating for 3 months. He said, Pastor Alvin, I told you, if it's God, it's going to go just as fast on this end. He said, let me put it this way. There's very little grace for a senior pastor to have a girlfriend in his church. And I went, whoa, I never thought about that. So I prayed and fasted. And he said, if she is your wife, then you need to move forward. If she's not your wife, then you need to quickly transition her back to being a member of your church, your friend.
Wow.
You haven't crossed any lines emotionally or physically. So this, given the way you've handled yourself, this should be able to work if she's not your wife. And I felt like she was. So I proposed Memorial Day, end of May. So we dated for 4 months, engaged for 6. And then after we got married in November, we found out in January that Honey was born. Wow. So his prophecy about it happening fast was right
what
on.
A story, man.
So that's how. So though it worked well and to God be the glory, I still would not wish it upon really anyone. Because it's just a road less traveled. There's not a lot of examples to glean from. But God gave me Pastor Tim. Right on time.
Yeah.
And man, incredible example. He still walks with us today. He's one of my counsel of my life. So God is good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
You touched on something that I think I can relate to in when you were talking about, you know, you had planned on being married earlier.
Totally. Yeah.
And I think in my own life, I'm 28 and I'm married, thankfully. But there are some things at 28 where I thought, you know, I should have done this by now. I should have been this by now. I should have experienced this by now. I know I have peers who are single and they're like, I thought I'd be married by now. Or, I'm curious for you, as a pastor, but just as a man too, like when you experience that feeling or when you meet someone who's going through a feeling like I should have check this box by now. Through your experience of dating and marrying your wife, like what's a lesson that you learned about, you know, timing when it comes to those kinds of things?
Man, I was just talking on this at church. You know how the scripture says, you know, love is patient, you know, well, you can say that about God, like God is patient, right? And I think part of the reason why he's patient is because he's not affected by time the same as we are. I believe he actually exists outside of time. And so what seems like a long time to us is not a long time to him. Like, AKA, you know, for example, Jesus is coming back soon, right? For us, soon means like 20 minutes, maybe a year max. For God, soon it could be centuries, right? And I think when it comes to God's timing versus our timing, it really is just a matter of humility and just trusting that that his time is better than your timing. And it's a tough pill to swallow because we tend to think that we know when now should be now. But, you know, the Lord says in due season, and he's the one that determines that. And it's like I said, humbling is the best way I can describe it, to realize that you're not in control of when things will happen. And for me, just the sooner I accept that and kind of swallow that pill, for lack of a better phrase, that I'm not in control of when certain things happen, it just gets easier. And I think it's an opportunity to trust the wisdom and the knowledge of God, you know, and that he just knows better. No matter how confident I might be in when something should happen, if it hasn't happened yet, that means it wasn't his timing. And I think that's just a constant wrestle of submitting our timeline to his. But then, you know, if you follow through, you know, you start accumulating the stories that, man, God's timing was better. Because even with me and Jasmine, like, I realized during that 9 months, God was doing a lot of things in her, and she was getting ready. If I'd asked her out back when I wanted to ask her out, I don't think we would have gotten married because the timing wasn't right. And you don't know that until you cross over and realize, God, you knew what you were doing. And I think the more stories you build or collect, the easier it is for the next time, because you go, well, the last five times I waited on God, it was perfect.
So good.
And that usually gives you the fuel you need for the next time that you have to trust him. So that's sort of what's happened with me. It's still a challenge, but I do believe it gets easier the more you build that track record of the times where God showed that he actually knew when was the right time. So I think that's what I would just tell people. It sounds cliche, but trust God. Lean not on your own understandings, because it'll trip you up. And that's kind of how I'm walking through that.
I love that, dude. I remember the psalm that says God holds time in his hands.
That's it.
And I mean, when I look at my short, brief life, God was always on time. Always. And if it had happened, and now, I mean, again, dude, I'm a slow learner. I used to think I was a fast learner and I knew a lot, but I realized, dude, it takes you long to learn things. I started going to therapy a couple years ago, and one of the counselors, my therapist, said, and I did not want to hear this, he said, Joe, you're exactly where you need to be.
Come on.
I'm like, no, dude, I wanted to cuss. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't want to be here. Well, I didn't say this, but in my mind, I was like, no, because I believe I got this. I'm special with God like this. These are all the thoughts that are going in my mind. And when I look today, dude, he was right.
Awesome.
Exactly where I needed to be. And but I still have to surrender that every day, because I think I know better.
Of course.
I think I know that, okay, if this happens, this needs to happen now.
Yeah.
Or this doesn't need to happen now.
Right.
And God's like, sometimes it's just God's protection.
Yeah, man.
A lot of times. I mean, I don't know how to tell you the story. I tell this at youth conventions, where I met my first kind of real girlfriend when I was 18.
Okay.
And I thought I was going to marry her.
Uh-huh.
First time in love, thought she was fine. Yeah. All the wrong reasons. And then we moved to Washington. You know this story, right, Josh? You know this story? Okay. Moved to Washington to be with my mom.
Sure.
And we were writing letters back and forth, and then she wrote me the letter. Dear Joe, you know, it was the breakup letter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, so mad.
That's awful.
So I met mom, got married, and then we're touring in Alaska later, years later, and we're signing at the back table. And I'm going to put a funny spin on it. This is what truly happened, but this girl, we're signing, and all of a sudden I hear, hey, Joe.
You
and
knew
I
it.
Was like, that's the Dear Joe
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, it's voice. Dear Joe girl.
And I looked up. I was like, thank God.
Oh, I knew that's where it was going.
It's me, but God knew. I was
that's
like,
where it was going.
I remember getting back to the hotel. I got back to the hotel. I called mom. Honey, I love
you so much, baby. I knew that's where it was
it's
going.
It's a fleshly story, but I feel like God,
no,
that
good,
was a story
dude.
Of God's
That's a
dude.
Godly story.
Just let me
that's
handle
funny,
this
man.
Time situation.
That's that is funny. So funny, man. I knew you were going there.
For anyone wondering, well, where you're exactly where you need to be.
That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Alvin, thank you for that.
There's a question that I often ask first-time guests of the show,
mm-hmm.
and we can wrap up with this. Well, this will be your last question today, but it's something, selfishly, it's something I'm really interested in,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like I can learn a lot about people by asking this question, but I want to know for you, what is it right now in your life that you're dreaming about? What's the thing that you're waking up thinking, how can I make this happen, or what's that dream for you right now?
I mean, that's easy right now. That's just this new family, this mm-hmm. new old family that God's blessed me mm-hmm. with, and just this new role. I mean, the newest role is father, but husband's just a few months before that, mm-hmm. honestly. So kind of just wrapping my mind and my heart around what God has for me at home mm-hmm. and just really investing most of my time and prayer into my success at home and building a solid foundation for me and now a wife and a little girl. So, yeah, my family is the biggest dream. Mm. Church is doing great. Obviously, there's a lot of excitement around that, but it's amazing how that, even the excitement I have around that, seems to take a second place to the priority of what's happening in my own family. Mm. And that's new, and it feels different, but feels good.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, it was just church. Mm. And now, if the family stuff isn't right, then church is like, who cares?
Yeah.
Mm.
So I have this brand new priority, this brand new passion that is just changing my life.
Yeah.
So my dream right now is just to build a beautiful, godly, fun, loving family. Mm.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, man.
Well,
for sure.
It's been a blessing to have you here on
the
show.
Oh, man, I'm honored.
Our audience is going to love it, and you're welcome back anytime.
Love to come back. Yeah. Y'all call me.
We will.
Awesome.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for being here, man.
Of course.
Love you, dude.
Love you, too.
Love you so much.
Totally.
To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.